And now, on with the show.
Hey, welcome, everybody. We're back. It's Weekend Watch. What are we? A production of Green Mushroom Media. Hi, I'm one of your hosts, Spencer, sitting here with Keith.
Oh, hey, that's me.
And also David.
Spencer, you didn't tell us if you watched everything.
Oh, I did. I seen them too.
Yeah, we'll see.
So, yeah, thanks for interrupting my intro.
Get fucked.
So here we go. It's Weekend Watch, the show where we talk about awesome stuff to stream this weekend on your favorite streaming platform. And maybe one of your not so favorite streaming platforms. I don't know.
I guess anything with ads isn't my favorite. I will say the ads on Tubi weren't so bad. It was not so bad. It's not as bad as like some of the Peacock ads and shit like that. They just run them every 5 minutes.
Yeah, totally fair. There are some really obnoxious ads on Peacock. Why don't we get into it? We got some stuff to go through. We got some great picks this week because it's Labor Day week. It's Labor Day weekend. So celebrate your Labor Day by lounging around and watching some of these great recommendations that all have to do with work. So who wants to go first? David, why don't you kick it off?
I feel like mine has the most to do with work.
That's fair. Get into it, man. Give it to me. What you got?
My recommendation this week is Workaholics. This one's a Comedy Central classic. It's on Amazon right now. It looks like Paramount Plus as well. Their synopsis here is garbage, so I'm just gonna. Workaholics is about
Blake, Adam, and Durs.
Blake, Adam, and Durs. They're three just loser dipshits. This is some really great absurdist humor. These three dudes work at a telemarketer call center company. But to say that they work is being very generous because they spend most of their time trying to get high on various substances and doing their best to get laid. But in a very Beavis and Butthead-y way, these guys are really fucking stupid.
These guys think they're way cooler than they actually are too. Like definitely. They've got some ego, some narcissism going, and
the level of cognitive dissonance in how they see themselves and what they actually are is the best part of the show.
Right.
In a house that's perpetually trashed. Reminded me very much of hanging out at the Conscious House again.
Totally understandable. Yeah, everyone had that one house when you were like 20 years old that everybody hung out at, and that's where the parties were.
Yeah,
that was in a not a good state of repair.
Speaking of, you sent that picture of us all sitting in the living room of the Conscious House, and I got to show my girlfriend a very good shot of the tampon curtain that we made to separate the living room and the kitchen.
You know what's fucked? We made that like 16 years ago.
Goddamn.
It's a long time.
Anyway, this show's great. It's got great music in it. Some of the music is provided by Kyle Nowacek. He's the director of the show and also the guy's drug dealer on the show. They're very sincere, oddly caring drug dealer.
He also has a job. It's drug dealing.
Yeah. I love Kyle Nowacek, and I love his character in this show, too. Like, he fucking cracks me up. The wonky eye and everything. It's so good. These characters are so good. I'd say all Blake is the most self-aware, you know. Adam and Durs are... They think very highly of themselves, and Blake is semi self-aware, and he's also kind of badass at times. Like, I don't know. I love this show. I absolutely love it. It cracks me up every time I watch it. Each season has something else to offer. I don't know if this has anything more to do with work than any of our other picks, other than it has work in the title.
They spend a lot of time in the office.
They are in the office, but there's not any work happening.
That is not true. There's one episode where they have to outsell what's his fucking name, Montez, to get that fridge for the cute chick. They work their asses off that episode.
So one episode. There's also one episode where they go to an ICP concert. So like this,
I mean, you rescue guys, their coworker. I'm just saying. Hey, none of our picks are particularly about labor.
Which is not a movie I really want to watch anyway. Especially on Labor
who wants
Day.
To Let's watch a movie of people who go to the office, do their work, go home, and then the movie's over?
Yeah. On Labor Day, you just watching a bunch of people work.
Oh, man. All right, check it out. It's Workaholics. It's currently streaming on Paramount Plus.
Paramount Plus and Prime.
And Prime.
And
Prime
Hulu,
Video.
I think.
And Hulu, but I thought
is
that was
still on Hulu.
I don't know. It's
telling me here. Yeah, on Rotten Tomatoes, it's telling me it's still on Hulu.
It is still on Hulu. Yes. Okay. Cool. Well, let's move on. My pick this week is a horror comedy from 2016 called The Belko Experiment.
See, this one takes place 100% in the workplace, so...
Yeah, it does. An ordinary day at the office becomes a horrific quest for survival when 80 employees at the Belko Corporation in Bogota, Colombia, learn that they are pawns in a deadly game. Trapped inside their building, a voice on the intercom tells the frightened staffers that two workers must be killed within 30 minutes. When another ultimatum follows... Friends become enemies and new alliances take shape as only the strongest will remain alive at the end. It's a really weird kind of horror movie that has a lot of laughs, I thought. This was written by James Gunn. Sean Gunn stars in it. A lot of those same guys who are always in James Gunn movies make appearances. Michael Rooker is in it.
David Dastmalchian, he's in like all of fucking Gunn's movies as well.
Yeah, he's in every single one of them.
Yeah. I was also happy to see John C. McGinley. I'm a big fan of his acting, and he was creepy as fuck in this.
He was great. There's a lot of just familiar faces in here.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good stuff happening in this movie. The most surprising thing about this movie to me is when I opened up the Rotten Tomatoes and seeing the shit reviews it got.
What?
30% audience score, 55% critic score, 40% audience score? I don't get this at all. I don't get it. I love this movie. I thought it was fun. It's like Battle Royale meets Saw meets Office Space. It was fucking great.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was, and I don't understand why it didn't get bigger acclaim.
This was a great movie.
It was not received well, and I think this one has a lot of potential to be revisited as kind of a cult classic.
And like what you were saying when you recommended it, you were saying that it had franchise potential, and it had massive franchise potential. Probably more so than like Saw. They set it up. There was the one scene where they were like, we have over 40 offices worldwide. And then at the end of the movie, it kind of opens that up a bit too. I'm not going to spoil anything for you, but like there was big potential for this to move forward with more movies or a show or something like that. And I would be all about it. If there was a Belko Experiment show and it was about a different office every season, that would be fucking sick.
It really would. I would watch the shit out of that. That would be something I could see like Shudder doing, like an original series. That would be awesome. It's witty. The humor is there. It is really gory. You know, it is a horror movie at its core, but it doesn't devolve into a bunch of jump scares and stuff. It was just a lot of fun. It's a really fun movie.
I have to let you know that my disappointment with humanity has deepened just a little bit, because in the people also ask section when I Google this movie, the question is, did the Belko experiment actually happen?
God damn it.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
So,
oh, man.
It did not, whoever asked that.
No. No. Good God.
Christ. That's funny. People are so funny.
Do you think there are people
stupid
out there who just think every movie is a documentary?
Have you seen Independence Day?
Nuts. We landed on the moon.
The day after tomorrow. Oh, fuck it.
So that glad to see New York has recovered.
Well, there was like the whole thing around the Marvel movies about people getting like super upset over Infinity War and stuff when Vision was like getting the stone ripped out of his head. They were like, no, it's hurting him. You're hurting him. And it's like, oh my God, these people are.
Have you not? What
they're
the fuck?
Way too attached. Way too attached. No, it's not real. Belko experiment wasn't real. They didn't do this.
However, you can very really stream it on Tubi.
The ads weren't bad. I'm going to go ahead and say the ads didn't bother me one bit. There was like terrible slight breaks, but it was mostly movie. You know, it was fine. I prefer no ads, but it was fine.
Keith, why don't you bring us home for Labor Day weekend?
I'll bring it on home. I went with a 1976 classic, probably one of the best movies ever written and put on film. I love this fucking movie. It's Taxi Driver. Oh, man. What can I say? Martin Scorsese working with Robert De Niro, and it is just so good. This is the story of Travis Bickle. He is a ex-Marine. He was honorably discharged, and he's having trouble sleeping, so he wants to pick up an extra night job as a New York City cab driver. He doesn't give a fuck where he goes. He'll take you anywhere. Take you to the Bronx. He'll take you to Harlem. He don't give a shit. He gets down and dirty. He spies this really pretty lady that is working for a presidential candidate. And asks her out on a date and takes her to a good old-fashioned porno theater. She don't like that none. And things get real weird after that. And Travis Bickle has a really wild life, man. This movie is just full of classic movie moments, classic lines. I love this film so much. I'm sure Spencer's seen it. David, did you see this one prior to this?
I've never watched Taxi Driver before. Of course, I'm aware of it and its massive influence. But this was actually my first time watching it. It's a rough watch. There's a lot of racism in it. It's about this dude's slow devolution into psychosis because the shit world around him. And so the racism, the fake politicians, the prostitution, the crime, the everything just getting to this sleep deprived guy.
Of prostitution of a 13-year-old.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. Yeah, it's a great movie. I'll give you that. But I completely understand when you say it's a rough watch.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do too. Absolutely. But man, some of the writing, some of the shots in this movie as well, it's Scorsese, obviously, but the writing is just great. You know, that when Travis is sitting there reading some of his journal entries and stuff, he's a grimy guy, but he's oddly poetic at the same time. Like, it's really, it's something else. This, I really do love this movie, and I was really happy to visit it.
So many young actors that are going to go on to make huge names for themselves. I mean, he wasn't the youngest in this, but seeing Peter Boyle that young was kind of crazy. I'm used to seeing him in Everybody Loves Raymond when he's fucking old as fuck, you know?
Right.
Albert Brooks was, how old was Albert Brooks in this movie? Shit, like 20s, maybe 30s.
Yeah. Harvey Keitel with the long hair, and
yeah,
the dude was fucking cut up. Like, De Niro was too. These guys were fucking jacked in this movie.
Even the scene with Scorsese when he was the guy in the passenger, right? With the beard spying on his cheating wife.
Yeah, that was Scorsese's cameo.
Yeah, he looked crazy. I've never seen Scorsese not old, so I didn't immediately recognize him. I only put two and two together when I was looking at the cast list.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it's fun. It's a fun, dirty, grimy, tough watch.
Definitely. Slice of the 70s for sure.
Fun fact, this movie inspired John Hinckley to try to kill Reagan.
Yeah.
Neat.
To impress Jodie Foster.
I'm sure that this movie has inspired a whole bunch of terrible shit.
Here's another fun fact about that. John Hinckley Jr. is now out of prison and making folk music. You can follow him on Twitter.
Oh, America.
Travis
Bickle. He's all better now.
Sure
he is.
He's one of those characters that people heroized for no reason.
All the wrong fucking reasons.
This is not a hero story. No. Travis Bickle's not a great guy.
No. If you have any delusions that Travis Bickle is any sort of like a valiant character, you are wrong and you should sterilize yourself.
Yeah. Well, all right. Where is Taxi Driver streaming?
Taxi Driver is on Netflix.
Check it out on Netflix. And with that, that's everything you should be watching this Labor Day weekend and nothing else.
We'll fucking find you.
That's it.
That's it. So why don't we move on? The weekend's now over. Let's talk about some news. We got some news. You guys going to talk about some news?
I'm down to talk about some news.
All right. Let us jump in then. What was the last day we recorded? All right. We talked about that already. So let's talk about how, for some reason, we're getting a Batman spinoff series from a spinoff of Matt Reeves' Batman on Arkham Asylum.
Oh, man. It's so funny that they're making that announcement, and then, like, not even a week later, they're talking about how the Snyderverse should have never happened.
I mean, they're not wrong.
I know, but it's just, they're so confused, and that's why everybody else is so confused about what's happening.
Yeah, the whole DC thing just needs to be, they need to scrap everything for, like, 4 years. And then pretend like none of it happened and start releasing a new continuity.
I mean, just let it sit and then come out with some like random ass like movie that kind of stars a hero and then open it back up in a weird way.
I would be in for that. If they want to charge ahead bullheadedly, that's kind of what the DC universe is known for. The comic books keep fucking hitting the reset button with crisis after crisis after crisis. So do that. Fucking hit the reset button, but just make sure you got your shit together. No more Ezra Millers. No more fucking Zack Snyder's and his ridiculous Snyderishness.
The Ezra Miller stuff, like, is also they're saying that the Flash is like receiving in their test groups is testing as high as like the Dark Knight was.
What?
And yeah, so
no,
I've got to find this now. Like, since
I believe you. I just don't believe the people who are rating it.
I can't either. I don't know. I haven't seen it, but without seeing it, I'm gonna say no. It's not that good.
How do you spend $90 million on a Batgirl movie and then scrap it without a second thought, but then be like, no, we're keeping the Ezra Miller thing.
Right. Like, and they're giving no explanation for the Batgirl stuff other than like, oh no, well, Discovery, you know,
yeah, Discovery, we got bought by Discovery. So
Discovery came in. They don't like Latina Batgirl. So, on that.
Also, not everything needs a fucking series.
I know.
Case in point, as
like, Arkham Asylum would be a cool series. We got to get into a place where we can make it right. And we're not there. We're not there in the DCEU. It's not, it would just be more confusing. It would probably get scrapped after a season. Let's just not do that right now.
And like, I get that this is based on the Matt Reeves Batman, which is something at least.
It's better, but we're not even greenlit for the Batman 2. Like, and we're right, we were,
and now
series?
We're not. Yeah, I don't fucking know. They should just stop everything while they get their shit together with Discovery, at least. Well, why don't we talk about another series that shouldn't exist? Because Disney Plus is making a King Kong series. Now,
why? God, why?
So the first thing I'd like to note is that if I were to tell you right now that someone is making a King Kong series, I would assume that you would think, like I did, that it's going to be a continuation of the Warner Brothers MonsterVerse King Kong of, you know, Kong Skull Island and Kong versus Godzilla, right? That's what I would think.
Makes sense, yeah.
Knowing by your tone that that's not the case.
No, is this Donkey Kong? Are they making a Donkey Kong series?
No, Disney is just making their own King Kong thing. Because there's an IP loophole that Disney's exploiting to be able to do this.
Oh, God, that's fucking...
Disney, famous protector of their IP, is exploiting a loophole to use a character technically owned by Warner Brothers to make a prequel series that's completely set on Skull Island.
You know, it would have surprised me if, like, Disney found, like, another way to loophole this to be like, oh, no, this is our IP now, and you can't use it anymore.
They're going to retroactively sue Warner.
Oh, this is dumb. This isn't a series. What kind of series can this be? First of all, how many Kong movies have we seen in the past 15 years?
Two.
Like, not in the same universe. There was, like, several other Kong movies that came out in early 2000. Oh, I guess that's so
2004
years ago.
You didn't set your date long enough for Peter Jackson's King Kong. There was Peter Jackson's King Kong. There was Kong Skull Island. And then Kong versus Godzilla in the past 22 years.
More to my point is we don't need more Kong. Like, if we do, let's do continuations of these stories, which they're also doing. Like, Kong and Godzilla are going to have to team up next time, you know? And that is fine, all well and good, but we don't need a new Kong, and especially in a series. I don't know why we're doing this.
Yeah, it makes no sense to me. And for Disney Plus, too.
Yeah.
So, like, how is that going to hamstring what this could even be?
Is Kong in the Marvel universe now?
Oh, if only. Star Wars. It's actually Star Wars.
Star Wars.
This is now a Star Wars property. Oh, Jesus. So yeah, that's a thing that's happening. Hopefully somebody comes to their right mind, you know, and cancels this before they spend too much more money on it.
Why they've got all the money.
That's a good point. Oh, man. All right. Let's move on to a couple of video game related movie news. Actually, there's like four. I've got a bunch. First off, the Resident Evil Netflix series that came out has already been canceled after one season.
The season ends and they're like, nope, done. We're done with you.
It got bad reviews, man.
Real bad reviews. I think you were like one of six people that liked that show.
Yeah, I liked it. It was fine. Like, I didn't love it or anything, but it was a perfectly tolerable watch.
Yeah.
Like, I enjoyed it. There were moments that I felt were pretty brilliant, but it was definitely geared towards teenagers. And maybe that's not the right choice for a Resident Evil series, but for what it was good.
I still haven't given a shot. I don't know when I'll have time to, but I'm planning on making my way around to it, so I'll have an opinion eventually.
Right on. David, did you ever watch that at all?
No. Didn't really have much interest in it.
And now you probably still shouldn't, because why would you?
I was just about to ask Keith, like, why? Why make your way around to it?
Yeah. Yes, you're right.
What else video game related? Horizon Zero Dawn is getting a series at Netflix. That's pretty cool. That's pretty exciting.
This is exciting. Hopefully they do. I mean, it's Horizon Zero Dawn story was, it's post-apocalyptic, but it's done in such a refreshing way. We're so far removed from the inciting incident of this world that like humans have coalesced back into these tribes that each have their own cultures and presentations. And so this world is rich and I want to see it explored on TV.
Yeah, I think this one is it was a cinematic game and it can be a very cinematic show. Like, they can do a lot with, I mean, it was gorgeous in a video game. I can only imagine what they can do to stream it as a show. I think it could do really well. This is a good choice.
Yeah, rich in lore. I think it'll look great. Who should play what's her name?
Aloy.
Yeah, Aloy.
Amy Adams.
That was my first thought, but I feel like she's a little too old to play Aloy. Aloy's supposed to be pretty young.
Young, isn't she like 16 or something like that?
Yeah, somewhere around there, like 16, 18 ish. Yeah, I don't have an answer for that. I was just curious what you guys, if you guys had any ideas off the top of your head.
I don't off the top of my head. That's one that I'm going to have to think about. I don't know any like.
She's 18. So
I don't know any hot, like the young actresses right now. You know,
yeah, so
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I bet they'll find someone good.
And I mean, thinking about it, Aloy is a little bit more tomboyish than Amy Adams. Amy Adams, the only reason she jumped to mind was the red hair.
The red hair.
So
I think this would be a good cast for an up and comer, someone that we don't know very well. I think this would be a good one for them to boost their career. You know,
for sure. All right, last bit of video game movie news I've got is that the BioShock film at Netflix has finally picked a director. And now that I said it, I forgot his name. Francis Lawrence.
Yes.
Who is the guy who did the Hunger Games movies. Yeah. What else did he do?
He did Constantine. He did... what was...
Red Sparrow, Constantine, Hunger Games, I Am Legend.
I Am Legend.
Yeah, so he's got, I don't know, I think it's a good pick for somebody. He's got a lot of experience adapting previous properties, like Hunger Games from a book, Constantine from a comic, I Am Legend from a comic. Like, yeah. So I don't know. That's pretty cool. I think he could do a decent job with it for something that's going to, he's going to have his hands tied behind his back as to how creative he can get. So I think he'll adapt well to that.
Yeah, I think this is a pretty good match for this. I'm excited. I'm excited for this IP. This is good story. Another one very rich in lore, very cinematic. This is gonna be one that I'm waiting on the edge of my seat for.
Yeah, for sure. All right. The last thing that I've got is that Rob Zombie's Munsters film will be coming to Netflix on September 27th. Sweet.
Quick. That's soon. It's less than a month away.
Yeah, I'm pretty stoked. Like, I wasn't planning on seeing this in the theaters, so now I don't have to spend money on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll watch it if it's on Netflix.
Yeah, exactly. When I can split his inexplicably 2.5 hour long Munsters movie into 45-minute chunks.
Yeah,
that is.
I don't know if I'm going to sit for this for 2.5 hours.
That is quite a bit of Sherry Moon Zombie.
Yeah,
that's just a whole bunch of her.
People always say that, and I truly don't understand the hate.
I can't quite articulate why I find that woman so distasteful. I don't know.
Oh, man, that's funny. I don't have an issue with her. I think she does great for the kinds of movies that he casts her in. So
all of his movies? What?
Yeah.
Like he's
literally, yes.
Like he's but picked like out
horror
a couple.
Roles. Like he's kind of crazy, like, horror roles.
He's like, no, dear, this role isn't quite your style. So I'm going to, no, she gets a role by default because her husband made the movie.
I mean, yes, that's exactly right. But she played a great psychopath in the Family Firefly series. She played a great victim in 31. She was great in Lords of Salem.
I didn't see 31.
31 was a lot of fun. But yeah, I don't know.
I hope it's good. I am not overly hopeful about the Munsters, but I'll watch it.
I'm not super hopeful either. But yeah,
me either. But yet we're all going to watch it because we're all Rob Zombie fans.
It's on
at least
Netflix.
That's why I'm watching it. And it's going to be free. So,
yeah.
All right. I don't have any more news. You guys got anything else?
Yeah. One more thing. We'll go back to the DC stuff. If you were excited about Shazam, Fury of the Gods, and Aquaman 2, then get less excited because they're both delayed. Shazam will now be released in March of 2023. And Aquaman 2 will be released in December of 2023. So,
man, that Aquaman movie has gotten bumped so many times.
It it can't be good, right?
That does not bode well. I'm sure the Amber Heard stuff had a lot to do with it.
Yeah, and they're
having
to have a lot of reshoots
because of that. Yeah,
that's big money too. That's not money they want to spend. How that movie's surviving? I want to see Shazam 2. I want to see Shazam: Fury of the Gods for sure. I don't care about Aquaman at all. I didn't even finish the first movie. Lauren and I cut it off. It was not something I wanted to watch.
Yeah, I never even bothered trying to watch Aquaman. None of the DC, like the Snyder DC universe stuff, ever thrilled me. So I don't think I've watched any of it beyond. I think I watched Man of Steel when that first came out, but that was it. I think that's the only one I've seen. You know, Shazam. I saw Shazam.
Yeah, Shazam was great. I don't know. Jason Momoa is not a good actor. The best role he played was the king of the Dothraki. He was he spoke a different language, and he said like four words, and that's like his best acting performance is when he wasn't talking.
So there was a show he did for Canadian television. I'm trying to find the name of it because I forgot. Frontier. It was called Frontier. That was really good.
Okay.
I've heard
about Frontier.
It was after Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
But it was 2016 to 2018. Three episodes or three seasons, I believe. It was a really good show. Definitely worth watching.
Yeah, I definitely want to check that out. I've heard about it. I've heard good things. Maybe it's just like this role. I don't care for him as Aquaman. It's so like bro-y predictable that it's not good.
Yeah, he's taking safe roles like The Rock.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that's all it is. In fact, yeah, that's literally all it is. If you ask me, is he doesn't want to do anything that will damage his brand. So yeah. The Rock does the exact same thing.
I get it. Yeah, for sure.
So yeah, right on. I don't know. I'm out. You guys got any more news beyond that?
That's it. That's all I got.
Right on. Well, thank you everyone for listening in. Don't forget to check us out on Facebook, Discord, Twitter, our website, greenmushroommedia.com. You can find a link to our Patreon. You can click that link and become a big old patron, just like our OG patron, Dylan. Thanks, Dylan.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, do that. And failing that, we'll be back next week with another brand new episode of Weekend Watch.